Chapter 9. Trouble on the Estate. Dr. Azad had come for dinner again, as he often did. His face looked old and tired these days.
"Next time," said Chanu, "please bring your wife. She was very kind to give us dinner."
"Of course," said the doctor. "It's good of you to remember after more than 10 years. The conversation was always the same. Chanu asked about Dr. Azad's daughter. Dr. Azad asked about Chanu's projects. They both lied about how well things were going. Shahana and Bibi came in to say goodnight. When they had gone, Chanu and the doctor relaxed and began talking about their favourite topics. They seemed to be talking to each other, Nazneen thought, but they really were not. "So many Bangladeshis are using drugs," said the doctor, "but the government isn't doing anything about it."
"We will never be seen as important in this country. Now I am just saving money to take it back home," said Chanu.
"We need money from the government for drug treatment, but the most important thing is education."
"Educate the parents and they must educate the children. I am teaching my children many things about history and politics and art."
"Education is the key," said the doctor. "Teach parents to recognize the signs that their child has a problem with drugs, needing money all the time, hiding away. Why don't parents see it?" Nazneen suddenly thought of Razia's son, Tarek.
"We must think of our children first," said Chanu. "In all my life, I feel this is the best decision I have made, to take my daughters back home."
"We need more jobs for the young people," said the doctor.
"They will never make jobs for us," said Chanu. "Look at history."
Dr. Azad checked his watch and stood up. "And how is your job?"
"It doesn't matter how it is," said Chanu. "I just take the money. How is your daughter's husband? We still haven't met him. You must bring him here next time you come."
"Of course," said Dr. Azad as he left. And although he took care to hold back his shoulders and walk with energy, Nazneen could see that her husband had scored the final point. Shahana sat on the edge of the coffee table, reading a leaflet.
"How many times do I tell you not to sit on there?" said Chanu. "What is that, anyway?"
Shahana gave him the leaflet. It was about how too much attention was given to foreign cultures and religions in British schools. Chanu read it carefully. He became angrier and angrier.
"They say that Islam is a religion of hate, and that Muslims are planning to take control of Britain. What rubbish!"
He threw the leaflet in the bin and sat down heavily.
"From now on," he said, "all our money is being saved to go home. All of it."
On the estate, a leaflet war began between the Lionhearts and the Bengal Tigers. The Lionhearts complained about someone taking down pictures of women in the community hall. The Bengal Tigers announced their respect for women. The Lionhearts wanted dancing and alcohol in the community hall. The Bengal Tigers wanted to write to the government and complain. Chanu laughed at this. But the next Lionhearts leaflet called for a march against the mullahs, and Chanu did not laugh.
"Stay away from marches," he told the girls.
Then the Bengal Tigers called for the Muslim community to march against the Lionhearts' march. Things seemed to get more serious. Lionhearts and Bengal Tigers, out with leaflets, often insulted each other. The estate began to feel dangerous. Nazneen started collecting Shahana as well as Bibi from school. There were only a few more weeks until school ended for the summer. This made Nazneen sad, as she could not spend much time with Karim if the children were at home. She loved the time she spent with him. He wrote his leaflets at the dining table while she sewed. She listened to him pray. She listened to him talk about the Bengal tigers or Muslims around the world. She looked at him more openly now. When he saw her looking, she did not look away immediately. "You're always working," he said. "Talk to me." "I will listen," she said. "You talk." He picked up the buttons she was sewing and put them in the front pocket of his jeans. Nazneen felt electricity run through her body. She sat very still. He talked about Muslims in Egypt for a while. Nazneen tried not to think of the buttons. "It is sad," she said. "You're so right," he said. He pulled the buttons out of his pocket and gave them back to her. Then he lay down on the sofa and closed his eyes. Nazneen could not concentrate on her work. Later, in the bath, she thought about Karim. His arms, his face, how confidently he walked. The next day, when she was walking back from school with the children, there was a police van outside her building. Four police stood in front of two lion hearts. A group of young Bangladeshi men faced the police. Nazneen recognized the questioner at their center. The lion hearts shouted an insult, and the questioner's friends had to hold him back. The policemen laughed at something. Nazneen and the girls went up to the flat. Shahana and Bibi watched television, and Nazneen tried to write a letter to Hasina. She wanted to tell her what was happening on the estate, but she did not know where to start. She tried anyway. "Sister, I hope you are well. Something is happening here in the flats. Men are writing leaflets and pushing them through the doors." It made her laugh. It did not sound like much when she wrote it like that. She gave up on the letter and took a new piece of paper. This time, she wrote down numbers. It was a list of their payments to Mrs. Islam. The last was £100. The one before was 85. There were 6 of £75 and 4 of 50. How much money had Chanu borrowed? How long would it take to pay it back? When they woke the next morning, Chanu found a leaflet at the door. It was about a Muslim in Chechnya who had died for his religion. "May we be as brave as he was to use our lives to fight for Islam," Chanu read out. He was so angry he could hardly speak. "Are they mad? Putting this through white people's doors? Do they want them to hate us?" Nobody said anything. Shahana turned on the television. Chanu started to scream at her, but then he stopped and the leaflet fell from his hand. There were pictures of young men throwing stones and burning cars. They had scarves around their faces, but it was possible to see brown skin here and there. There were pictures of police, too. They were hiding behind clear plastic shields. The riot was in a town called Oldham. "You see?" said Chanu. "You see?" In the afternoon, Nazneen needed to buy something, and as she walked past the community hall, the secretary jumped out in front of her. "Have you come for the meeting?" he asked. She had not, but now she felt that it would be rude not to go inside. She sat down in the front row. One seat away from her was the questioner. Next to him were some girls, wearing burqas this time, instead of hijabs. The black man was there again, and Nazneen noticed that he had started wearing traditional Muslim clothes too. Nazneen was excited about seeing Kareem. She watched him come up onto the stage.
Okay, he said. Let's get started.
He pulled a piece of paper from his pocket. It was the leaflet that had made Chanu so angry that morning.
This isn't a Bengal Tigers leaflet. Who is responsible for this?
He looked around the hall, being careful not to look at the questioner. He saw Nazneen.
We don't have time for this, shouted the questioner. We need to take action.
Anyone who wants to make their own group can get out now, said Kareem, and take their leaflets with them. The questioner went up to the stage and spoke to the crowd.
Let's not fight about leaflets. All around the world, Muslims are being destroyed. I will show you something.
He began passing around pictures of suffering and dying Iraqi children. It made Nazneen cry.
Should we keep quiet about these things? Should we do nothing? Said the questioner.
Everyone jumped up, and the hall was filled with voices. Nazneen wondered what Kareem was going to do.
Look, Kareem said, we came here together to take action.
But what are you going to do about these things in different countries? We need to help our own community first.
That's right, called someone from behind Nazneen.
Someone else shouted,
let's fight the problems at home first.
The girls in burqas shouted,
we get called names. We want to make them stop.
Brothers, said the questioner, let's stay calm.
And sisters, said the girls in burqas.
The questioner looked at them angrily. Everyone started shouting, and a lot of it was about the riot in Oldham. Everyone wanted something to be done, but what? And who was going to decide on the action? Nazneen saw that Kareem and the questioner were each trying to control the meeting. She knew that what Kareem had built was in danger of being destroyed. People seemed to like the idea of going to Oldham to march. Someone said that they could play music to attract more crowds.
It's a march, not a dance party, said the questioner.
Yes, but we want to get people there.
Kareem nodded his head.
Yes, you're right. That's what we want. Brothers, said the questioner. Do we want...
And sisters, said the girls in burqas.
Brothers, repeated the questioner. Do we want all the white kids coming for a party?
Everyone began arguing about whether to have music or not.
Brothers and sisters, said Kareem, let's hear all your ideas. Raise your hand and everyone can take a turn.
As Kareem called on people to speak, he made each one feel as if he or she had said something of great importance. By the time the meeting ended, everyone was calm and the questioner had lost. Nazneen stood up and walked away. All the way home, she tried not to run. When she got inside, she waited by the door and opened it before Kareem even knocked. He kissed her and led her into the bedroom.